Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the prophet Joel, the second of the 12 minor prophets. This evening, we'll be reading chapter 2, 1 through 32, the whole of chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will again after them, through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army. For his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you, and drive him into a parched and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea, and his rear guard into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness are green, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine give their full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down upon you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. and the praise of the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, last week we began a series of sermons on the 12 minor prophets. And last week, remember, children, I brought something to help you remember the prophets. So the prophets, by their very nature, are picturesque. The prophets tend to live out their message. And I brought something last week, and I said I wasn't sure if I'd do it again. But I did bring it along tonight just to remind you, what did we talk about last week? Do you remember, children, what book this hose reminds you of? Was it Hosea, right? Yeah, it reminds you of Hosea. And it's a hose in the shape of a ring. We talked about a wedding ring. Hosea, the picture of God's love for His people. The picture of God marrying His people. Even though they were not beautiful, even though they were sinful, God chose to show His love in that wedding ring. When you think of Hosea, you think of a hose and a wedding ring. Now, I said I wasn't sure if I'd do it again, but I love a challenge. And so now it's something I have to do. We're looking at another book tonight, children. A different book in the Minor Prophets, the book Joel. And so I brought two things along, one to help you remember the name, and one to help you remember the message. I brought along a box of Jell-O. Now you might wonder, why in the world would you bring a box of Jell-O for the book of Joel? Well, if you shake the box a little bit, the letters kind of jumble together, and it doesn't look like Jell-O, it looks like Joel. Okay, so this is the picture of Joel, a box of Jell-O. But that just helps you remember the name of the book. What is the book about? We read about it, but maybe you didn't catch it. So I brought something along to help you know what the book of Joel is about. I brought along this bug, this locust, because the book of Joel, when you think of Joel, I want you to think of this locust eating up the Jell-O. That's the picture. And that may sound kind of funny, but we're going to see tonight that's exactly what the prophet says. He talks about the locust coming and devouring everything. Eating up the land, eating up everything in sight. So children, now you have the picture. You have the picture of Joel and the locust. But that doesn't mean you're done for the night. Now you have to listen very, very carefully to see exactly what that picture means and what the story of Joel is about and how in spite of this picture of a locust eating up Jell-O, it's actually a picture of how God will continue to take care of His people. Joel and the locust. Last week, in talking about Hosea, we talked about Hosea, the prophet of God's love. And that picture of the marriage was given to us. A prophet of God's love and concern for His people. In Joel, we have a different picture. A different dominant theme. Not, first of all, a story of God's love and of a wedding and a marriage. But a story of God's judgment. And as with many of the prophets, Joel uses the events around him, the picturesque events, to describe God's judgment. He describes in chapter 1 and chapter 2 the coming of a swarm of locusts. And I didn't read chapter 1 tonight. I would encourage you perhaps to read that later. In fact, I would encourage you during this coming week to read ahead. You know that next week we're going to be at Amos. So take time this week to read through the whole book of Amos. We won't look at all of it, obviously, next week, but it'll help you prepare. Tonight, Joel, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, gives us a picture of the judgment of God that is based on a swarm of locusts that came to Israel. And Joel uses that picture and describes that as a picture of God's coming in judgment upon His people. He says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming and is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness." He uses the picture of these natural images. And when the locust swarm would come, they would be so dense and so thick that if they would fly high over the ground, they would blot out the sun. He says, a day of darkness, a day of gloom, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Now, he says people, but we know from the rest of this, he's referring to the locust. This mighty, powerful army that comes. He describes them and their effect in terms of a fire. Verse 3. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The locusts come and destroy so completely, so totally, it's like a fire that burns everything up. He says, before them is the Garden of Eden. Before they get there, it is lush and green and beautiful. But behind them is like a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. They had seen this swarm of locusts come into Israel, this swarm of locusts come into Judah and Jerusalem and destroy everything in its path. And Joel uses that picture as a picture of the complete destruction in the day of the Lord. He says, their appearance is like the appearance of horses. And like war horses, they run. And I don't know if you ever looked carefully at a little locust, but his head kind of looks like a horse's head. That's what he's describing. These locusts, they come, and their appearance is like the appearance of horses. And like war horses, they come and they run in. And they make noise as they come. Verse 5, with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of mountains. It's like the sound of chariots coming. You can hear them in the distance. The flapping of their wings, the movement of the air. And it's a portent of this coming destruction. Like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble. Like a powerful army drawn up for battle. As they eat, as they chew all the crops, it's like the crackling of a fire. A picture of total and complete destruction. Warriors that come, like horses, like war horses, they come in. And he goes on with the description. Verse 6. Before them, people are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. Each marches in his own way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They come in military formation. They come and move forward in a straight line, devouring everything in their path. Now, I have not seen this, but I've talked with folks from the Dakotas who have seen this, who have gone through swarms of locusts. And some, the more mature, come flying. But the immature come crawling on the ground. And they describe it just like Joel describes it. They come like an army. The ground moves and swarms with them, and they go straight forward, and they devour everything in their path, and nothing gets in their way. A picture of total and complete destruction. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. A picture of this locust swarm that comes. You can hear them coming. The wings are batting each other. You can see them on the ground moving forward in a swarm and devouring like a fire absolutely everything in their path. Israel experienced it. And Joel says, beware of the day of the Lord. It is coming like that swarm of locusts. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters His voice before His army, for His camp is exceedingly great. He who executes His word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. The day of the Lord is the day of God coming in judgment. The day of God coming to judge His people. And Joel says it will be just like the locust. God coming with His power, God coming with His might, God coming into His camp, exceedingly great. Great and powerful and awesome. God coming to judge His people. A warning. A warning for the people. There is a judgment coming. There is a great and terrible day. The day of the Lord. Be warned, be afraid, for God will come in judgment. And he says, who can endure it? Who can stand before the power of a holy, mighty God who comes with vengeance to judge all those before Him? Who can endure it? That's the picture. Locusts that come and devour everything. So it will be in the great and terrible day of the Lord when He comes with judgment upon His people. Who can endure? And yet, even as the prophet asks, who can endure? God Himself answers the question. Who can survive that great and terrible destruction? Who can survive that great and terrible day? Verse 12. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. The day of the Lord is coming. God will come to judge. Who can endure it? Those who even now return to God with all their heart. Those who even now repent before Him of their sins. Oh, that day will be great. That day will be awful. But God says, even now return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and there will be salvation in that day. God warns the people in Joel's time. God warns us today. There is a final day of judgment coming. Now, we don't talk about that very often. But God will come again. We confess it tonight in the Apostles' Creed. He will come again to judge His people. How can we endure? How can we stand that great and terrible day? God says, yet even now. Even now, today is the day of salvation. Return to me with all your heart. Humble yourself before me. Repent before me. That's who can stand. No one can stand in their own might, in their own power. The one who stands is the one who repents before God and humbles himself. The prophet says, verse 13, rend your hearts and not your garments. Rend your hearts and not your garments. To rend one's garments, to tear one's clothes, children, was a sign of repentance. It was an outward sign for the sorrow of sin. But what the prophet is saying, what God is saying is, I don't simply want the outward expression. I don't simply want you taking the words on your lips, forgive me, O God, but rend your hearts. Truly repent, truly bow, not just simply an external show of repentance, but rend your heart. Be truly sorry before God. Humble yourself before Him. That's who can stand. That's who can endure it. Not the one who callously says, oh, God will forgive me. Rend your hearts and not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. Turning to God with a broken heart. Turning to God with genuine sorrow for our sin. We talked in our morning services a few weeks ago about genuine repentance, godly repentance, and worldly repentance. Godly repentance. Sorry for my sin. Sorry that I have offended a holy God. Sorry that my sin has caused hurt and pain. Rend your hearts and not your garments. For God is gracious. God is merciful. What's our hope on that great and terrible day? That we have repented so well? That we have humbled ourselves so perfectly? No, our hope is in God. Not the greatness of my repentance, but the greatness of God who accepts that repentance. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. Verse 14, who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him? God is gracious. God is merciful. And even today, yet, He will turn and have mercy upon His people. If tonight your sin is bothering you, truly bothering you, rend your heart and not your garments. Not simply an external acknowledgement, oh, I'm sorry for what I've done, but an internal breaking of the heart before God. Because He is slow to anger. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is abounding in steadfast love. Oh, He calls forth our repentance and then graciously receives us. The prophet goes on, though. He speaks of the repentance of the individual, but also verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. He says there's a sense in which we as a body have to repent before God. We have our individual obligation to repent before Him, but as a body, Israel had sinned. As a body, Israel had rejected God. And so He calls them corporately to come together. Gather the people. Assemble the congregation. Consecrate them. Bring them together. And together acknowledge that as a people of God, they have offended Him and are in need of repentance. God through Joel, calls the people together as the nation to repent before the Lord their God. Now it's important when we read prophecy to make the proper parallels to today. When God calls Israel as a nation to repentance, when He calls them as the people of Israel to humble themselves before Him, when He talks to them as national Israel, the correlation to today is not to another nation. The correlation to today is not to the nation of the United States, or the nation of Canada, or the nation of the Netherlands, or whatever it might be. The correlation to today for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, is the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the new Israel. God calls us as His people to corporate repentance. If we have as a church, as a body, offended Him by what we have done, we must be ready as a body to repent. Your actions affect each other. My actions affect you. Yours affect me. Call the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, bring them together, that God might spare His people and make not His heritage a reproach or a byword among the nations, but that God might turn to them and hear their calls for repentance. And beyond hearing their cry for repentance, God Himself will bless His people. The beautiful transition in Joel. It begins with that terrible picture of devastation. A picture of the locust coming and devouring everything. And it ends with this beautiful picture for those who repent of God blessing His people. Verse 18, "Then the Lord became jealous for His land and had pity on His people. The Lord answered and said to His people, 'Behold, I am sending you grain and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you.'" That northerner, children, is the locust. The locust came in from the north. He says, "I'm going to remove the locust. I'm going to drive him into a parched, desolate land. He's going to go into the sea on the east or the sea on the west. I will take care of you again. I will bless you." Verse 21, "Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green, and the tree bears fruit, and the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. That which was devastated, that which was destroyed, is now brought to life. The picture of the green trees, the beautiful vines, giving forth their fruit." God blesses those who repent before Him. They not only withstand the judgment, but they receive the blessing of the Lord their God. Verse 23, "Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given the early rains for your vindication. He's poured down upon you abundant rains, the early and the latter rains as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and with oil." A reversal of the punishment. A reversal of the judgment for those who humble themselves in repentance before God. A picture using the physical blessings God would give and a picture of the spiritual blessings God will give. Verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit." A picture of God's spiritual blessing for His people. Now, I have to confess that this section of Joel was troublesome to me. Because I've been talking tonight about a future judgment that is coming. A judgment that will come in that great and terrible day of the Lord. That's what Joel's talking about. But you recognize these words from verse 28 and following as that which is quoted with regard to Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit. Perhaps, the day of the Lord is past. If this prophecy is connected in with Pentecost, perhaps this warning about a future judgment is just a warning that's useless. Because the prophecy was fulfilled in the Pentecost event. But we recognize that in Scripture, prophecy often has multiple layers of fulfillment. To be sure, there was an initial fulfillment of this prophecy in the coming of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. But that did not exhaust the prophecy. There is a final coming yet. There is a final day of the Lord at which time God's fullness of His blessing will be poured out. Oh, we have the down payment now in the blessing of His Spirit given to all of His people. But the reality, the fullness, the greatness of what God will do is yet to come after that great and terrible day of the Lord. This world is not the end. There is more to come. It will come through judgment. It will come through a judgment as serious as locusts devouring everything. But in that great and terrible day,
those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how Joel ends this section. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, that's the church, and in Jerusalem, that's the church, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. It is within the body of the church that salvation comes. It is within those who are linked with God through Jesus Christ. Oh, the judgment is coming. It is real, and it is as devastating as locusts. But for those who repent, for those who humble themselves, for those who call on the name of the Lord, there will be salvation. Salvation and blessing for the people of God. If you have not repented before God, if you have not rend your heart as well as your garments, then today is still the day of salvation. This final judgment is not here yet. We don't know when it will come. It could come far in the future. It could come tonight, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Have we called on His name that we might be saved? Have you with heart truly embraced the Lord as your Savior? God warns again tonight, through Joel, the prophet of judgment. Oh, that day of the Lord is coming. For it shall come to pass, though, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape. How we praise God that through Jesus Christ, we are those who can repent before God and know the blessing, the assurance of salvation in that great and terrible day. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise You for Your Word, a Word that speaks of Your love, as in the prophet Hosea, and a Word that speaks of Your judgment, as in the prophet Joel. And yet these are not in conflict with each other, but they reveal who You are, the great, the awesome, the holy, and the just God. Lord God, we don't often think about that final day, that coming day of the Lord. And since we don't think about it, we usually don't prepare for it. And we assume we have more time. But we know that is not always the case, O God. Tonight, help us to rend our hearts, not just our garments. Help us to truly repent of our sin before You and to know the joy of forgiveness and to experience Your promised blessing. For You, O God, are a God who does not forget His people, but continues to bless and to keep, even in that final great and terrible day. May we be found in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.